basic instructions before leaving Earth. This is Bible Radio, the internet radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, St. Paul in Minnesota. And this is Sunday Morning Live. Calvary Chapel, St. Paul is a non-denominational church dedicated to the teaching and living out of God's Word. And now, Sunday Morning Live.
Hey, I was speaking one place and I just recently, and they didn't have the things, right? I was going to use my laptop and some slides and stuff. And they're like, oh, we don't have any video. We don't have this. We don't have that. And it was just a bunch of young 20-something. I said, oh, calm down. I said, I'm old school. I know how to use my Bible and talk. I don't need any. I'm that old that I, you know, used to the, all right. Long distance was a 25-foot cord from the phone in the kitchen to the living room. That was long distance. All right. Hey, turn with me in your Bibles to Romans. Romans chapter 14. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning and technology. Bless it somehow. And God, that we just ask you to be Lord and lifted up, that we leave here today more on fire, more convicted, more committed, more submitted, more in love with you than we came here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, back in chapter 13 of Romans, pick it up at verse 11. Says, and that knowing that the time that is now is high, time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. It's nearer today than it was yesterday, and it's nearer now than it was for me 43 years ago. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Remember who Paul is talking to. He's talking to Christians. He's telling Christians to put off darkness and put on the armor of light. Again, the first eight chapters of Romans is this really great doctrine that's teaching. And now we get Romans 9, 10, and 11 about our Israel's past, its present, and its future. But it also is about the faith and the hope and the love that we have in Christ Jesus, and that hope that he's going to continue with and complete his plan with the nation of Israel. But even so much more so, you and I, with that salvation. And this is the salvation. You and I don't have, like, we're not in salvation right now. We have salvation, and we have that promise of salvation, of eternal life, by the one who's promised it to us. And that's why we can trust it. So our salvation, that day of redemption, that when this mortal body puts on immortality, that's that hope that we have. And again, Paul even tells us, and we see that throughout the New Testament, that we're to encourage each other with that blessed hope that we have. I mean, we're talking, what, 58 more days before the next election, civil war, whatever is going to happen, all that kind of stuff. Oh, my. But my hope is in Jesus. My hope's in the Lord. I'm more concerned about that than what's going to happen in 58 days from now or all the days preceding to that. So the night is spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, and not in chambering. It's a King James word, meaning for all types of debauchery and sexual immorality. And wantonness, the same, not in strife and envy. Remember that again, who he's talking to, Christians. They've come out of the Roman world. They've come out of the Hellenized Greek to the Roman world, and they had a philosophy that they grew up with, that it does not matter what you do in your body, it's the spirit or this essence of you that goes on into some other type of eternity or whatever. That was their philosophy that they were living by, that they grew up in. And that's sometimes, think about the things that we've grown up in that sometimes is hard to shake. We just bring right with us to church because we go to church. We get born again. We get salvation, that promise of it, that someday that we'll be for all eternity with God in heaven. But think about the things that we sometimes bring with us wherever we go. Here's a proverb for you. Wherever you go, there you shall surely be. I mean, understand that? I mean, that's what it is. And so, again, we can bring that with us when we come to church, but is that really what God desires of us? And Paul's going to go on here from chapters 12 through 15, about how to live out this love, how to live out this relationship. The first eight chapters, we get some really great doctrine. So we can be theologically sound, so we can know why we're making the decisions we're making and why we choose the things that we're choosing and why we do the things that we're doing. He really explains us to our us ourselves to ourselves and what we're really like. And he knew that, and he had full disclosure of that going into this relationship with you and I. And it's just this grace, this wonderful grace that he bestows upon us. But again, Paul is talking to Christians here in the church, and he's telling them, let us walk honestly as in the day. That might be the hardest thing that you as a believer now need to do, is to walk in honesty. Obviously, the wantonness, the sexual immorality, all the evil vices and stuff, those are easily identifiable. And we know we should not partake of that. But notice what he talks about here. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness and chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. To Christians, But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. That's our task. It's not just simply stopping a certain behavior, but it's no longer making provision for it. What is the issue? The issue for me in my life, and this might be the lowest base for you, you might not have ever had this experience, but drugs and alcohol and the various vices I did, those really weren't the issues. Those are what I used to get away from the issues that I really didn't want to deal with. Some people work a lot. Some people spend all their time on movies or they'll find some other type of thing to have a distraction instead of dealing with the real core issues of their lives. And here it comes down to, and he just nails it to the believers there, to make no provision of the flesh. So let's not just stop these vices, but no longer. You've got to do things to cut off provision that makes way that you give into those things. And there's going to be certain things. One man I've been working with for quite some time, and he just strung himself out on alcohol. And got dependent upon it, you know. So, I mean, literally to the point of where he needs to take a drink just to steady himself. He's that physically dependent upon it. He doesn't want to go through the withdrawals. But why did you get a job working at a liquor store? I mean, if I'm trying to lose weight, I'm not going to get a job at an all-you-can-eat buffet. I'm just not going to. Do you understand? There's just certain things. In other words, you're not making steps to not make provision for the flesh. And then we're like, well, you don't understand. I'm a really good bartender. I'm a really good this. I'm a really good that. But okay. But that's led to the life. One friend of mine, really phenomenal chef, great chef, opened up a lot of restaurants. Was really well known. But one of the things in the restaurant industry that you do with the chef is you send a drink back to the chef. A lot of chefs are drunks. You send a drink back to the chef. Send a bottle of champagne back. Send it back to the... Do you really want the guy cooking your food drunk? But it makes no sense. And then you have... And I'm like, here's a guy who's a phenomenal chef. And some of you here have actually benefited from this person's skills. And you'll never know. But just phenomenal chef, but can't work in the restaurant industry because that would be making a provision for his flesh. And so there's all types of things there, all right? But ye put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So it's not the end result. And that's many times what you and I can look at. We look at the end result of someone's life, where they ended up, and you forget, what did it take to get there? And that's where we've got to worry. That's where it's about reach, teach, mend, and send, that I really believe in, that we really need to mend people, and it's the issues that cause them to be down that path. So with all this, now we go into chapter 14. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not with doubtful disputations. Not with doubting, just someone who's weak in the faith, just weak in the faith. For one believeth that he may eat all things, and another is weak, he eateth herbs. Not that you're a vegetarian or a vegan, but But he's just making the example here. He says, for one believer that he can eat anything, and the other says he only eats herbs. It's the attachment of some type of spirituality to it. That's how that, if you like it, that's on you, but that disgusting Ezekiel 4:13, whatever that is, that cardboard and just that sawdust and lentils and stuff. And then people sometimes attach that, well, you know, you got to eat this way, and, you know, brings you closer to God. You know, this is a temple. I just take people through. I said, well, let me talk about your filtration system at home. Is it everything purified there? Is everything in your life purified? I mean, if you really want to believe that the chemtrails in the sky are dropping chemicals on us, then, you know, might as well just eat white bread. I understand that there's all these things you start attaching. That's the problem, is when you start attaching spirituality to it. And that brings you closer to God. Look at verse 3. Let him not that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Remember, there was a spiritual hyper-spiritualization even in the pagan world about what you would eat and what you wouldn't eat. And people get saved and they come to church, and you have people who believe that, well, we can just use modern day vegan or vegetarianism or not. People belong to PETA, people eating tasty animals. There's all these things, and we're not to be looking down. I make case in point. We meet here at the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and we rent for them. And again, when making the deal to meet here, because you can look at the boards down in the fellowship area, and they say they keep to Leviticus 11. So when it came here to be making the contract to meet here at the Seventh-day Adventist Church, they were really concerned because we're going to be using the kitchen and we like to eat. And they said, well, we just have some things we'd like you to restrictions. And I memorized all of Leviticus 11. I said, I got you guys. And I've talked to everyone in church, and we're not going to eat any vulture, osprey. We're not going to be like IKEA, eat horse meatballs. We're not going to be eating the, and I named all these things but two, the swine and the shellfish, shrimp. And they're looking at me, so I named everything, and they're looking at me and says, but you're probably really concerned about the pork and the shellfish. And they go, yeah. I says, we can forego a couple hours in the morning and Sunday and on Thursday nights not eating pork or shellfish. I said, but the deal breaker for us is coffee. And they're like, what? We got to have coffee on Sunday. I mean, I started this church 33 years ago. And I can tell you, I know this. There's only been four times we haven't had coffee on a Sunday, and it was miserable. Sometimes there wasn't coffee. And we don't buy coffee. The church does not. Your tithes and offering don't go to coffee. There's a donation box on there. You want coffee. And it's all self-fulfilling. If one Sunday there's not coffee, or people, and the next week there's like 30 pounds of beans in that coffee there. And I just go, it's also one time the guy who was setting up the coffee, I said, why didn't you make coffee? He goes, well, there's no cups. I go, cups can show up in a moment, man. You're responsible just to make the coffee. And people are like, well, where's the cups for coffee? So lo and behold, someone went to the store and brought cups for coffee. It's all self-governing. And they looked at us and they go, really? You wouldn't meet here if we weren't allowed to have coffee. I'm like, yeah, that's just, we're weak. And I said, look, and so we went to Romans 14. We did a Bible study and said, listen, we think you're weak because you don't eat certain types of meat, especially the pork. And you must not have tried pork because you would convert. But this is the actual meaning. Some of you are in this meeting. You can shake your head. This is it. And they're like, okay, their board is there and our board is there. And I go, so we think you're weak. I said, so we're going to pray for you. Let us have coffee and consider us weak, and you can pray for us. So therefore, we're both praying for each other. And they're like, you guys can have coffee. Thank you. Really? And between the Seventh-day Adventists and us, we came to an agreement there. We think each other's weak, and we also think each other strong, and we can pray for one another. Let not them that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him that eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. He's received him. If If Jesus Christ is your Savior and your Lord, you're born again. Now, you might be part of a church or denomination or group, and they might have all types of quirky things. We're kind of quirky ourselves here, all right? But we're not to be looking down upon one another. It's just Jesus Christ, Him crucified, forgiven of our sin, of rejecting Him, and that's what makes us born again. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yes, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. You can cross-reference this with James chapter 4, verse 12 as well, if you want to take that note down. James 4, 12. So when it comes to judging, who are we to judge another man's servant? I just readily tell you, man, again, we think you're weak because you don't eat pork and shellfish and all these other things. But do you think we're weak because we drink coffee? Can we meet somewhere in this? They're like, yeah. So who are we? So we had this Bible study when it came to meeting and getting to be able to meet here as a congregation and use this building. And we just honored them. Now it's weird because we forget when we start up again. We'll start our Thursday nights. Our midweek studies will start up. We're on a six-week break on Thursday nights. We'll start up October 3rd. And sure enough, we'll forget, and someone's going to bring in pepperoni pizza. I was walking around one time with salami and cheese, handing it out to the kids because they like salami and cheese. And someone says, Pastor Chick, is salami pork? Follow me outside. And so, it's kind of funny because the neighbors out here see us tailgating because someone brings someone. Someone brings a couple hundred homemade pork egg rolls. Those are great, but we got to go outside. So sometimes, especially during the winter, you'll see people outside eating out the back of their truck or the hatchback or whatever and just realize, oh, that must be pork. That's where the good stuff is. And we eat it out there, and then we come in here. But I mean, because we're trying to do whatever we can to honor them, not to say, well, we'll just let it go this time. No, just go on outside. We'll do that. We're not like one husband who told his wife to bring the leftover pulled pork to church on a Sunday. That was good. But we do this. And we're like, oh, all right, let's just go outside. And not only that, we don't even do it on the property here. It's actually across the street. Can I just share with you the witness and the testimony? That's love. Because we have people from the Seventh-day Adventist Church who visited to come in, and they go, why are your people outside eating? I said, well, because we're just honoring the covenant, the contract we made with you. And like, really? From what I understand, there's been other non-denominational churches or evangelicals who've rented this building over the years and haven't honored that. Haven't honored that. And I'm like, really? No, we've come in here, they're doing all types of stuff, and we've had to ask them to leave or whatever. And I'm like, I wouldn't do that. And so they're like, I'll just tell you this. We signed one contract, I guess, 7-8 years ago. We signed one contract. We've never signed another lease. We're just on a handshake and a verbal. They're like, we want you guys to be here. That's what it is to be a Christian who's going to walk honestly and uprightly before them. And that's the witness that we get to have with one another. I don't intend to do that. I'm really working on other issues in my life, but I try to endeavor to honor that, because the Bible says, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. If we make an agreement, a covenant, a contract with one another, whether it be a handshake or in writing, I'm like, we should honor that. Paul's talking to Christians who need to be reminded to put off darkness, to put on Jesus, to walk honestly in this day. Because oftentimes we bring this with us into the church because we all come to church. And one might think, well, it's okay to maybe cheat on taxes, or, oh, it's okay to do this, or it's okay to do that. Is it really lying? Or, well, what's wrong with just saying yes? We're not to be looking down upon one another. Look what it says in verse 5. One man esteemeth one day another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Now, I don't know a whole lot. I mean, about the Seventh-day Adventists, I know a little bit of their doctrine, and we have a PDF file that you can look on our website about those who attach that you can only, if you're only worshiping, you can only worship on the Sabbath. if they really want to be it, it's sundown Sunday to sundown Saturday, but you can't do things on a Saturday. But they allow us to meet here on a Sunday. They make allowances for that. But I said, okay, then we're considered weak, but thank you for renting to us. But I don't look down upon them. They say they put a lot on that it's a Saturday that you got to do that. But do you understand that we're meeting here and we're able to go through? So that was a Romans 14 study. So I'm just giving you real life experience here that's happened here, why we're even meeting in this church building. Now, they knew coffee was a deal breaker because they know we've owned a coffee house for 25 years over on the east side of St. Paul. So they go to our website. They're like, these people like coffee. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. We're going to have coffee here. Who art thou to judge another? One esteemeth the day another. And so for me, it's Easter every day, baby. It's Jesus every day. It's every day. It's not just one day a week that I worship the Lord, but it's every day. And others put emphasis on just that one day. Okay. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. I'm not going to try to dissuade anybody here. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. Think about it as Christians. Do we get together? Oh, we got to pray before we eat. Got to pray before we eat, and then we're just kind of waiting. We got to pray before we eat. I like when I'm with others and just pagans or whatever, and I might just pray, just bow my head and pray, eat whatever, or just get into eating. And sometimes it's in a conversation. I've got to have these conversations, and I set it up for it. People are like, well, you're going to make us all pray. We're not all going to say grace. We're not going to say praise. And I go, what do you care? You're going to hell. What do you care? What? Yeah, I mean, I'm giving thanks to God for I'm going to be with him in Jesus. I'm going to be with Jesus in heaven. What about you? You should eat up. This could be your last meal. You get into a conversation. And so we're not to be superstitious about it, but we're to get into it in here. And so every day, like, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth it not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. So even after the meal, you can give God thanks. Verse 7 of Romans 14, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Can you let it rest there? I mean, whether in this life or the life to come, whatever the issue is between you or anybody else, it's going to be dealt with. It's going to be dealt with. You just need to do, as Paul has already told us here, whatever's dependent upon you, live at peace with all. To live at peace with all. Whatever's dependent upon you, but you can't make someone else live at peace with you. And for us as believers, I'm not talking about the unbelievers, talking about us as believers. If you have issue with one another, what does it matter? We all stand before the God in the judgment seat of Christ. Whether someone wasn't being honest with you, whether someone was lying to you, whether someone defrauded you, whatever, and they don't want to repent and they don't want to get those things right, or they don't see the wrong that they've done, what does it matter? Whether in this life or the life to come, it will be dealt with. And because it will be dealt with, whether in this life, which is great to have that reconciliation, or the life to come, it's going to be dealt with. Therefore, I can still move on and do that which God has called me to do. So whatever thing that has been perpetrated upon me does not stop me from continuing to do that which God has called me to do. I don't have to wait till that thing is dealt with. I just realize, okay, it'll get dealt with later. I don't need to keep a record of wrongs, as Corinthians tells us. All these things have been wrong. I got to deal with all these things. That's just too much. But I can trust that whether in this life and the life to come, because here's what I know. I'm a Christian. And Jesus Christ is my Savior, Lord. And I've got the Holy Ghost in me. For you new King James people, it's the Holy Spirit. But I got the Holy Ghost in me. And I know in my prayer time, and I know in my closeness and my walk with the Lord, if I really hurt somebody, God brings that person to my mind in my prayer time. It's been that way for 43 years. And when I think of that person or those things happen, I go and I talk to that person or I call them or I try to take care of it. I said, hey, listen, I'm just thinking about this. I think I might have offended you or whatever. And then if you do this, oh, no, it's okay. Listen, I have enough of the Holy Ghost in me. I'm like, stop. I'm feeling convicted. I'm sensing I did something wrong. And by you saying no, makes me think I'm not hearing the Lord. I think I really am hearing the Lord. What do you mean? Because the same Lord who's telling me that I think I've offended you is the same Lord who told me that that was the woman I'm going to marry. The same voice, the same small, still voice. The same voice that's telling me right now that I think I've offended you somehow is that same voice that told me to go back to Minnesota. There's no louder and softer voice. It's just one voice. I've learned to hear the voice of God. And whatever I was doing that I could not hear God right now, I really think that there is some problem or I have aught with you or I've done something. And here's what I think I did. Will you please forgive me? And they're like, oh, yeah, well, now that you mention it. What do you mean now that I mention it? How long have you been thinking about this? Well, I've been thinking about it for quite some time. Says, I haven't. And that's what upsets people. I haven't. But I have. But as soon as I do know about it, I just want to take care of it. Why? I really like sleep. I do. My body's all racked up. It's not so much straight hours of sleep, but more like naps in between pain and moving around and waking back up. But I really do enjoy sleep. And I really can't sleep if I know someone has a problem with me and that I have thought with them. So I just do what the Bible says. Before the sun goes down, let no ought, no, no. Let it, take care of these matters. Don't let the sun set and rest on your anger or those things. That's how I live my life now, which I never lived that way until I became a believer. And even after I became a believer, it still took a couple more years of discipleship to live an open, honest, and transparent life. And I love it now. And I don't want to do anything now. That's about the provision of the flesh. I don't want to do anything now that will get in the way of that relationship with the Lord. And so here, I will tell people, I said, I think I've done something. Well, here's what I think I did. Will you please forgive me? I think that's great. I don't want it to go. But got an email the other day. Someone came to church some time ago in spring, and they did something. And they just said, I've been wrestling with this for such a long time, and I just got to say I'm sorry, and please forgive me. And I just emailed back, says, no idea who you are. I think I remember it was at one of our outreaches at the coffee house or something that we were doing there. And I said, I think I remember that. And I said, and then someone told me there was an issue with somebody, but I can tell you that person said, well, let's just pray for that person. I hope they come back to church. So, hey, I hope you come back to church. They might not come back to church because they said, you know what, whatever gesture they did, I said, well, I've done worse. So why don't you come back to Calvary Chapel, St. Paul, because you'll be in good company here. And maybe the fact that I've done worse, they won't come here because their pastor has done worse. But said, we're just sinners saved by God's grace. I can't do that. I won't do that. I can't go months and weeks and years. As soon as something is brought to my heart and to my mind, I would encourage you. Maybe that's what the word for the Lord is today for this first service. I know the scripture I'm going to go over is to be the same scripture for second service, but I just think God's doing some prophecy and some word of knowledge right now, and I'm just sharing from my own life, that if something's brought to your mind, let's just do a test. That thing you're thinking about right now that you don't think's an issue, but right now the Holy Spirit's brought it to your mind and you're thinking, I wonder if that's an issue? It probably is. It's just that simple. Whatever it is, ask for forgiveness. It's not dependent if someone forgives you or not. But just ask for forgiveness. And just move on and say, hey, I believe I did this. Not just go up to somebody and say, well, you know, if I've done anything wrong, I just want to, no, you know exactly what you've done. I do. It's the same Holy Ghost. And so here, that's all Paul is trying to encourage them to do. So they'll no longer make provision for the flesh and the lust thereof. And it's just those small little compromises. Have you ever read the Song of Solomon? He talks about the little foxes get into the vineyard and they rule the whole vineyard because they eat at the bottom. They eat at the bottom of the little roots and you really don't see it. But you don't know the whole vine's dead until it takes some time before you realize the whole grapevine is dead because they got down and get the little roots. Solomon says, be careful of those little foxes who get into the vineyard, who eat at those little things there. It's those little compromises. And so the Holy Spirit has given Paul here a way to communicate to you and I. He's able to take those first 8 chapters of all doctrine. He's able to give us application in the past, present, and future hope, the faith, hope, and love that we see of Romans 9, 10, and 11. In chapters 12 through 15, he's showing us this is just how you do it. You're saying, well, what's the will of God? You might know all the doctrine. You might be the best at Bible trivia. You can answer all the questions. But can you live it out? And this is just what it is. And so he tells it is, for it is written. He says here that we're all going to stand before God. Verse 10, Romans 14, 11. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. That's just right out of Isaiah chapter 45, verse 23. But we also see Paul use that again in Philippians, that one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So do you get it? Whether in this life, which is great if people take care of relationships now in this life, but trust me, the injustice or whatever's happened to you, that's going to be taken care of in the next life and the life to come. For you and I as believers, you and I, that Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord. When we bow the knee and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, it's yippee, it's good. But for the unjust, for those who never heeded our words, who never repented and gave their lives to Jesus Christ, they still will bow the knee and say, Jesus Christ is Lord. Maybe not be their Lord for eternal life, but He is the Lord. One day every knee. So I can trust. Listen, I'm going to do whatever I can to be involved in the unfortunate political process that has now swerved into our lane as Christians. And I know many people say, well, just preach the gospel. You must not be a student of history. When the government tells you just preach the gospel and stay out of the government, stuff like that, those are the exact same words Hitler used. Is the exact same words. He says, you pastors, and he had meetings with pastors all over Germany, you just preach the gospel, all right? Their souls may belong to them, but their bodies belong to me. Those are the things that Hitler would say, and many went along with it. And so here's the thing, what it comes down to is that I'm going to vote for somebody that is as closely aligned with my morals and my values as possible. And just like you're not going to get some perfect person as a president, I just want to let you all know you don't have a perfect pastor as well. But I want someone who's as closely as possible is aligned, that just wants to stick by the rule book when it comes to that. When it comes to you and I, when it comes to the Word of God, this is how we're to live. Regardless of who's in office, Jesus Christ is still Lord. It does not matter my relationship with the Lord. Now, who's ever in office will affect me physically here. There will be some things. There's higher prices, higher this, higher that. There's other people's agendas. Then how am I, and that's what I would encourage you, how then as Christians do we live in that environment and in that world? Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not in charity, King James word for love, destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Can I be the stronger brother and just say, okay, I won't partake of this. I won't do this with you. I had one friend in particular who grew up in a particular denomination, and that if there was drums in the music, that was the demon beat. He grew up with the demon beat. There's a demon beat in the drums and electric guitars and stuff. And so every time I'd pick him up, I would turn my music off, my Christian music, my Keith Green music, and I would turn that off because that offended him. I had no problem with that. I had no problem with it. Now, I did know the words to all the Keith Green songs, so I would just sing them out, but there was no demon beat. But literally, if I got to the point where I was tapping my hand on my dash or my thing, that was a demon beat. Just, you can't do that. But there's people who are serious that way. And so here, he says, just don't be judging them. Just, I'm not going to force my will and my liberty that I have on them, that they have to accept that. I can forego that. I know and I'm persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not in love? Destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approveth of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroyeth not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whosoever is not of faith is of sin. Verse 1 of chapter 15. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. You know, there's issues. There's all types of weird, quirky things. Friends of mine put on a Twin Cities choir. And this was, I just came to see the show. And it was a couple of different denominations, and they were going to put on a citywide choir for an outreach. And it was a crack up to me, because I just saw denominationalism. I just saw church culture. One church culture is no makeup. No makeup, no jewelry. No makeup and no jewelry. That's just, you know, the, got it from James here. No makeup and no jewelry. But it didn't say anything about the hair. And so all these sisters, woo! I mean, there were some hairdos, man. There was the wigs, there was just stuff. And the other group of people were like, you can have all the makeup and all the bling you want. And they would just go for it. All right, but they were of the opinion, but you can't have braided hair, you can't do stuff with the hair. And just to watch the two groups of people and the guys, man, I mean, they were $1,000, you know, suits and no bling. And there was others that were just regular dressed modestly, but they had all types of bling on them. And but they all loved the Lord, and they could all get together and they could look at the others. And I would just see church culture, but it would be wrong for someone who's grown up their whole life thinking you can't be that way. You can't have that. You can't do this. And it would be wrong for them because they couldn't do it of faith. It would be evil for them. Now, the thing that the show is again, it doesn't matter about the hair, doesn't matter about the clothes, doesn't matter about that, because we're just, look how I'm dressed today. So here's the thing that it comes down to, but they were able to get together, and it was, I just love choirs, man. They're just singing the gospel and just doing it. It was just great. But to see the various denominations get together. And then then to have both groups' minds blown away, totally blown away, when our group shows up and everyone's, a majority of people got tattoos all over them. Especially the pastor's wife. And they're like, and I'm like, and so I just spend the whole time like, man, that's great that you guys can go one way and you're here, no hair, all this kind of stuff, and the bling, stuff like that. Isn't it great that we can all get together? Totally setting them up. Because when our group shows up, like we just, they just open up the bus out of the county jail, and we just showed up, and then I'm introducing my wife, and she's just got, you know, tattoos, all stuff like that. I'm like, and they're like, now they're challenged. Because here's a group that already are competing, hair, no hair, you know, braids, no braids, bling, bling, makeup, no makeup, I mean, just, and they're all together. And then our group shows up and like, okay, we're really called to account. Now, it'd be wrong for you if, you know, you grew up in such a way that you can't get a tattoo in faith or whatever, but there's the whole thing. Do you understand? It's going to get settled, whether it be in this life or the life to come. Why let that get in the way of you doing what God's called you to do? Well, I can't work with these people because they believe this. I can. I can work with them. I can do however God wants me to accomplish the mission. I can get to them. I can forego listening to my Christian music. My wife, out of courtesy for others, she's worn long sleeves in very hot weather to cover up the tattoos to not be an offense. We've done that. We haven't forced that upon people. There's all types of things that we can do to not be a stumbling block to others, because others, and I can look at them and say, okay, then they're weak when it comes to that. Okay, but I'm not to use my strength or my liberty that I have to put a stumbling block for them, because they might have an issue with that. I can do whatever I can to live at peace with all people, but if they don't want to live with peace with me, there's only so much I can do. I can't go do everything to try to appease you to make your world perfect. There's going to have to come a point where, just like here, so I'm just telling you, Calvary Chapel St. Paul, just like our brothers and sisters in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, when we got together to meet here, we honor them, they honor us. We haven't signed another lease agreement in 7-8 years. It's all on a handshake. Our word is our bond, and we've honored them so much so that we can stay here as long as we're here. And yet we could sit down and do Romans 14. If a denomination, a non-denomination, and we're a bunch of, you know, flesh-eating pork eaters and coffee drinkers, and we can sit down and make these deals, how much more so can we show those around us? And I can tell you, it's been a great testimony for even though it's sort of jokingly in laugh, because other Seventh-day Adventist churches rent out to other evangelicals. It's a moneymaker for them. It helps them support them and stuff. But to have them talk about us when they go to other places and brag about us, how we'll be outside because we forgot that we said we're not going to have pork in here or the shellfish, and we take it outside. They think it's funny. But then like, wow, these guys are really trying to honor us. So that's what we get to do, folks. And the reason why that we can do that with the Seventh-day Adventists who've been gracious for us to meet here, and we never shut our doors during COVID. They did. You know, they put X's on the floor and walked this way. And I said, man, if there was pirates here, they'd be going crazy because X marks the spot, you know. And we just... we had a good time, and they're like, guys, you just keep meeting here. Our group, we're not going to meet, but you guys go ahead and meet. And we worked through all those things, and we're able to share. And then we're able to help them reopen for their group. In fact, they were one of the first to open in the Seventh-day Adventist in this area to start meeting. They're like, hey, why don't we just do that? That's how we can influence one another with the love of Jesus Christ. So listen, verse 1 of chapter 15, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. That's what we leaveth here with today, brothers and sisters. You think you're strong? You should be so strong that to not to be an offense, purposely. You can do whatever it takes to live at peace with all people. You can do that and you be that way. But this is what Paul's talking to the Christians about. They're the Roman believers, the Judaizers, the ones who are still coming into the Christian church, saying that you have to be circumcised before you can be a Christian. And he's telling the Gentile believers, just bear up with the failings of the weak. You guys can still get along. You guys can still, but don't let that, and that's the problem with those who are, I would say, weak when it comes to that, who insist upon it. That's the whole thing. To me, that shows what your weakness is if you're demanding it. If you're insisting upon it, that everyone else be like you because this is something that you think you have to, that shows me how weak it is. I'm strong enough to, like, I can forego it. I can forego pork and shellfish for a couple hours on Thursdays. We go crazy during the park on Thursdays when we meet out there on Thursday. It's just like a pork fest, right? But we can do that. We could take that and apply that in the rest of the areas in our lives. If you know, and this is how I know that I'm weak in an area, if I'm insisting that others abstain from something or do those things because of my weakness, you can do that. Out of love, I don't want to put a stumbling block on those things that I'm strong. So Lord Jesus, just do that work in our lives here this morning. May we leave here today more on fire, more convicted, more committed, more submitted, more in love with you, Jesus, when we came here this morning. And may your love, may they know that we are Christians by our love. Thank you. Thank you for the Apostle Paul and what he's sharing with us and what he shared with the Romans, and it's still timeless today. So Lord Jesus, thank you for forgiveness of sin and taking us in and not looking down upon us, but condescending of the lowest state with us to be like us. You took the form of a servant and became obedient unto death that we all here could have salvation. So thank you, Lord, for today in Jesus' name. Amen.